Well, good morning. If you have your Bible, I want you to find the book of Proverbs. We're going to look at one verse today. That's Proverbs 19. Proverbs 28, verse 19 is the one verse that we're going to look at. And so if you have your Bibles, that's what we're going to look at. Before we do that, I want to give you a test. I felt like our kids were not really on. Maybe I wasn't on this morning, or the kids weren't on. But I thought they would know who Helen Keller was. Did y'all? They don't know. They don't know who Helen. Why don't they know Helen Keller? I mean, we were in the fifth grade. We all knew who Helen Keller was, right? How many of y'all knew who this person was? Okay, y'all weren't paying attention in the fifth grade, apparently. So. But let's look at the screen, and I want to give you a test. I want you to take your glasses off and cover up your good eye or your bad eye, whichever one you want to decide to use. And let's all, in one accord, say what's on the first line. On your mark, get set, go. Pretty good. Okay. Let's go to the second line. Ready? Very good. Let's go to the third line. Not bad, not too shabby. Let's go to the fourth line. Wow, maybe this isn't hard enough. Let's go to the next line. All right, let's go to the next one. Okay, you guys are cheating somehow. I remember that was a horrible day. Y'all can take that down now. But it was a horrible day when I turned about 40 years old, and I was trying to read a map, and I was like in the car, and I was getting really mad. I said, why can't they print maps with good resolution anymore, you know? And then I was looking at a pill bottle or some aspirin bottle or something like that, and I'm like, you know, this... they had gotten much smaller with their writing on these bottles, you know. And I realized I couldn't see anymore, you know, and so I started using reading glasses. A few years later, not only could I not see up close, I couldn't see far away. And so I had regular glasses. And so I lost those regular glasses, so most of your faces look kind of blurry this morning. I can't tell if you're laughing or you're smiling or you're crying or what. But vision is very important to us. But when it comes to the Bible, it has sort of a different meaning. It's important. You know, you've always heard the phrase from Proverbs 29:18 says, where there is no vision, the people perish. And, you know, as a pastor, I mean, that's a lot of pressure. Because it's like if it's going to be my fault if we perish. Because if I don't cast a vision, if I don't give you some sort of vision, if I don't get creative enough to come up with a nice, cute slogan or a phrase or some great graphics, you know, we have pretty good graphics. I don't know if you've seen our graphics. They're pretty good looking. But if I don't somehow, in my creativity, give you some sort of vision, then we're all going to perish. There's a lot of pressure there. Or you could go to another level on that. You could say, dads, moms, if you don't have a vision for your family, your kids are going to perish. Or you could say to you as a business leader or a high school principal, or if you don't cast a vision for your company, then you're just going to go out of business. And there's a lot of pressure there, isn't it? And so I started reading this, and I realized what this really was about. And so we're going to just sort of unpack this verse of Scripture, where there is no vision, the people perish. Now, it is important for us to have some sort of vision, to know where we're going. You know, last year I did like the State of the Church address, and not doing that necessarily this year. But I do want to tell you that in 2018, we baptized 9 people who came to faith in Christ. 2019, this past year, we doubled that. We baptized 18 people this year into the church and into the kingdom, hopefully. I want to tell you this, that this past year, we gave $118,573.24 to missions, which was 44% more than we gave in 2018. So we saw more baptisms, and we saw more missions giving, and we contributed, hopefully, more to God's kingdom's work here and around the world. And so we have done some good things, but we don't know what's going to happen in the year 2020. You know, there was a point in time in the ministry of Isaiah where he made this comment. It was early on in his prophetic ministry. In Isaiah chapter 3, this is a comment that he made about leadership. And I'm just going to read it to you. Isaiah chapter 3, verse 6 and 7. When a man takes hold of his brother in the house of his father, saying, "You have clothing, you be our leader, and let these ruins be under your power," in that day he will protest, saying, "I cannot cure your ills, for in my house is neither food nor clothing. Do not make me a leader of the people." And so there was this point that was going to happen in the life of Judah, where no one wanted to be the leader. And in fact, the only prerequisite that they had for leadership at this point in the history of Judah was if you had the right clothes, if you had the right coat. And so here we see this picture of people who want to avoid leadership, who want to skirt around being a leader. And the fact is, you are going to be a leader for somebody. There is somebody in your life that you need to be casting a vision for. But before you can cast a vision, you have to catch a vision. And so I want you to begin to think about, in my life, who are the people that I need to have a vision for and cast a vision for? The first point of this message is this. There are times in human history when there has been little or no vision, okay? There are times in human history when there has been little or no vision. And I would say this, there are times in our own lives as we live our life where we feel like we have very little vision, that we have very little vision to catch. We don't catch very much of a vision, and we don't cast very much of a vision. We're just sort of existing. We're just trying to get from point A to point B. And one of those times in history was when, in the history of Israel, we can read about in 1 Samuel chapter 3. Let me just read this to you. And this is familiar to most of you who have read the story of David and the story of Samuel. Listen to this sad commentary on the lack of vision in Judah. This was after Hannah and her husband Elkanah had dropped their son Samuel off at the temple for Eli, who was the priest, to raise their boy. He was probably 3 or 4 years old. Maybe he's about 5 or 6 years old when this happens. We don't really know. But listen to what it says. Now the boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no widespread vision, or there was no widespread revelation. And so there were times when it didn't feel like God was saying anything. People weren't hearing God. People weren't seeing God. And so as a result, since they weren't hearing God and they weren't seeing God, they weren't talking about God, they were not casting a vision, they were not giving instruction. Here's Eli the priest. I mean, he is God's chosen priest to raise up God's chosen prophet. And it says in this period of time, they did not have very much vision. And let me tell you this. In a way, that's a little encouraging. You know that between the Old Testament and the New Testament, there are 400 years of no vision or little vision. And so why do you say, Andy, why is that encouraging? Let me tell you why I think it's encouraging. Because if you're like me, you might look at your situation, you might look at your family, or you might look at the church if you're a pastor, or your business, or your school, or whatever, and you might say, well, I don't see much going on. In fact, the reason I don't see much going on is because of me. Because, you see, I've just sort of ruined the situation here. There's been a lack of morality in my life, or just a lack of desire, or maybe I've been dealing with depression, or maybe I've been dealing with just an inability to hear from God or to be disciplined. And so I've just ruined this whole thing. I've just made a mess of this entire thing. And we think, well, I've just ruined it. And so I'm just going to throw it out. Let me tell you a little silly illustration of this, okay? Before Christmas, you know, I don't cook very much. But one of the things I like to cook is peanut brittle. And I'm good at it. I mean, I'm really good at cooking peanut brittle. Okay? If you question me, you just challenge me about it and I'll give you some peanut brittle. Okay? But I was cooking some, okay, I see the hands out there. Okay? I was making some, not peanut brittle, but I was making some pecan brittle. And I had started up, and it's very, if you've ever made brittle, you know, it's very, you got to be very careful with it, okay? Because you have to put your sugar and your syrup and your butter and your water, and you put it in the pot, and you heat it up. Very, very important that you heat it up to 295 degrees. Or, I'm sorry, 275 degrees. And so you get that. That's called soft crack stage, okay? And then after it gets there, you do what? You add your pecans to it, in this case. And so at that point, you're supposed to heat your pecans up to 295 degrees, take it off the stove immediately, put 1.5 teaspoons of baking powder, stir it up, and lay it out on a buttered pan, right? And so everything's going good. I've got the pecan brittle. I mean, it's smelling good. I put those pecans in there. And then I got distracted. And then I was reading, or I was doing something. I was right there. And then all of a sudden it hit me. You got that pecan brittle in there. And so I jump up. I grab my little thermometer. I put it in the pecan brittle. And I start to see the temperature rise. 100 degrees. 200 degrees. 250. 260. 270. 280. 290. It starts to slow down. But then it goes 295, 300, 310, and it keeps on going up. And I'm like, I pull it off there, and I go ahead and make it. You know what? It was worthless. I just needed to just throw it out because I had ruined the batch. And what I think a lot of us think is, you know, I haven't had a vision very much for my family, and so why should I even start now? Because I've just ruined it. But I want you to be encouraged, because there were times in human history when people didn't have much of a vision because they didn't hear from God. And I want to put this thought to you. It's never too late to have a vision. Okay, so what is a vision? We kind of been dancing around that. Let me just tell you what the word vision literally means. It literally means sight. Okay, that's the Hebrew definition of the word. It means to have sight. But it not only means to have sight, but it means to share that sight with someone else. Let me give you an illustration. You've heard of the word spotter, okay? You know what a spotter is, okay? We have people who are called storm spotters, all right? What a storm spotter does is gets up either in a van or maybe even in an airplane, and they fly towards storms, or they go towards storms, and they're trying to spot storms. And so what they do, and they're paid to do this, and there are people who actually do this. How many of you think you'd like to do that? Okay, I think it would be exciting. Okay? And so they drive toward a storm. They go spot a storm. They take readings and they make predictions. And then they report back to the weather center to warn people about what the storm's going to do. Or to give people direction. Okay, there are other kind of spotters. There are people who, a little bit simpler, a person who is a spotter for someone who's driving a truck. Okay, he's backing his truck up into the dock, and he has somebody that back there spotting for him. Now today, a lot of trucks have these rear view mirrors. Don't you love those rear view cameras? That's your spotter. There are people in weight training who have spotters, and they're there to make sure no one gets hurt, to spot. Okay, they're spotters. And a person who has vision is a person who is a spotter. Okay, they're paying attention to what's going on, and specifically here, they're reading, or they're spending time with God, they're reading God's Word, and they're hearing from God. They see God, and then they share God. J. Vernon McGee says this about vision. Vision is actually spiritual understanding. It is the word of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer to give him understanding of the Word of God. That's a great definition of what it means to have vision. It means you have understanding. You read the Word. It makes sense. And then you can share it with someone else. All right, so let me tell you a caution, okay? Vision is not you giving your opinion. Okay? Vision is not hearing what you think. Now, we have Sunday school teachers, and our Sunday school teachers know that they're supposed to study God's Word, and they're like the Domino's guy. They just deliver the Word. They don't add to it. They don't take away from it. They don't make up. They don't give their opinion about it necessarily. They study it. And they say, this is what God's Word says. That's my job on Sunday mornings, is to come here and not to make this stuff up. It's just to deliver the Word. And that's what it means. That's the caution, is no one really needs to hear your opinion. They need to hear what God said. Listen to Jeremiah 23:16. It says, thus says the Lord of hosts, do not listen to the words of the prophets who prophesy to you. They make you worthless. They speak a vision of their own heart, not from the mouth of the Lord. And so listen, dads, moms, grandparents, church leaders, we don't need to give people a message from our own heart. You know, people say, well, just in my heart, I want to tell you this. I don't want to embarrass him, but Chava and Megan are here. Chava's a pastor at Central Shalom, and Chava told me something one time. I was going to share this anyway. I didn't even know you were going to be here. But Chava has friends here in California and San Diego, and he told me one time, he said, this guy got him. He says, Chava, I have a word from you from the Lord. Now, be careful when somebody says that, okay? And the guy is kind of has a charismatic background, and he's always saying these things. And Chava said, now, wait a minute. I was talking to the Lord this morning, and he didn't say anything about that. Be careful that people just want to give you a word from their heart. Now, another caution is this. You say, well, vision, no vision. I mean, do I really care to have a vision for my family or for the church? In the Bible, the opposite, or the lack of vision, is illustrated or characterized by blindness. Okay, a person who has no vision is a person who's characterized by blindness. 2 Corinthians 4:4, the God of this world has blinded the eyes of the unbelieving. Revelation 3:17 talks about the Laodicean church. It says, oh, you're so rich. Everything's, you got so much prosperity. He said, but you're naked, you're poor, and you're blind. And so this whole idea of a lack of vision translates into blindness. Matthew chapter 15, verse 14 says, If the blind, these are the words of Jesus, if the blind lead the blind, they both fall into a pit. And so here is the thing. All right, so there have been times in human history, perhaps times in your life, when you have had little vision, didn't know what to do, were not hearing from God for whatever reason. That's just a point. That's a fact. There are times when we don't have much vision. The second point is this. When there is little or no vision, the effects are devastating. Okay, when there is little or no vision, the effects are devastating. Listen to what Proverbs says. Where there is no revelation or vision, the people perish. And that is the effect of little or no vision, perishing. The people, one version says, cast off restraint. Now, when you read that, the first thing you have to do is ask this question. Okay, it says, where there is no vision, the people perish. And so this is the first question you have to ask about the devastating effects of no vision. Who are your people? Okay, who are your people? Your people, the literal translation of the word is, they're your folks. They are your folks. They are the people with whom you are united, collected, or related. Throughout the Old Testament, it could be a nation, it could be a city, it could be a locality, it could be a group of people who are following the same direction, it could be a family, or it can be a congregated unit. I was talking to Taylor Azar right before the service. I said, Taylor, I'm going to call you out in the service. He said, fine with me. Taylor's is a trombone player. He is in the band. His folk are the members of that band. Now, his folk are also the people in his family. For the people who are on the ball team, your folks are the people on that ball team. They're the people with whom you're related. For you, if you're in a family, your folks are the people that you're in that family with. And so that's who your folks are. But the second part of this is the devastating part. It says, where there is no vision, your folks are going to perish. Now that word perish is best illustrated in the Old Testament. And I'll just, if you want to turn to Exodus 32:25, you don't have to. I'll tell you the story. Moses has been up on the mountain. He's gotten the Ten Commandments. He comes down off the mountain. Aaron has taken all the earrings and all the gold that people have thrown into a thing, and he made this golden calf, and they're worshiping the golden calf, and you can interpret that different ways. Moses comes down off a mountain. He looks at the situation. God has already told him what's going on, and he says, and it says, Moses looked, and the people were unrestrained because Aaron had not restrained them. Other ways to interpret that word unrestrained, perish, the people perish. The people are, listen, made naked. The people rebel. The people are idle. The people are at play. In Mark chapter 6, verse 34, it describes people who are perishing like this. They are scattered as a sheep, having no shepherd. The book of Hosea says it like this: they are destroyed for lack of knowledge. In families, I fear that we're not casting a vision enough inside our families. And this is what I'm talking about. The dad and the mom. I know we have single moms, but the dad and the mom have this responsibility to have a vision for the family. But a lot of times people say, well, that's a little awkward. It makes me feel awkward to give my kids spiritual instructions. Or I'm a little uncomfortable. My kids are going to think I'm just too legalistic, or I'm just weird, or I'm one of those holy rollers. And so dads, moms, grandparents, hold back. And we refuse to give our kids a vision. It doesn't matter what age they are. I mean, you have grown kids, you still have a responsibility to give them some sort of vision. Let me just give you this illustration, okay? This is kind of a gross illustration. Makes the point very vividly. Let's say, Dad, Mom, you're sitting at the breakfast table one morning, and your 13-year-old boy comes in there, and it's February, and it's 28 degrees outside, and he comes inside as a typical middle school boy might do, and he's wearing sandals, shorts, and a tank top. And you say, son, what are you doing? I'm going to school. Son, it's 28 degrees outside. What are you doing? Well, Dad, I'm going to get on the bus. Son, you can't get on the bus. It's 28 degrees and you have sandals on and a tank top and shorts. Let me make it even more vivid. This is a little bit question if I even should say this. Let's say your middle school daughter comes in and she's wearing her swimsuit and it's 28 degrees outside. You going to let her get on the bus? There's not a parent here, I hope, who would let their child go to school in a swimsuit when it's 28 degrees outside. You say, well, I certainly wouldn't do that. Don't insult my intelligence. But every time you send your kids out the door without some kind of spiritual revelation or spiritual covering, you're sending them out into a cold, hard, harsh environment without spiritual covering. Okay? And that's why it's important to have a vision for your kids. And so, where there's little or no vision, the effects are devastating. Where there is no vision, the people perish. But then it says, but happy is he who keeps the law. Happy, blessed. In the book of Daniel, there is much vision. The whole last part of Daniel, I mean, it's like multiple times, probably 20 times, talks about vision. Daniel gets a vision. Daniel gets a vision. Daniel has a vision. Daniel cast a vision. Let me remind you what was going on during that time. They were in captivity. They were far away from home. They were the slaves of someone else. And yet God was speaking vision into Daniel's life. And Daniel was casting that vision for the people. It says in Acts chapter 2, verse 17, and it shall be that in the last days, God says, I will pour forth for faith. I will pour forth of days, God says, that I will pour faith. I will pour forth of my spirit on all mankind, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. In the last days, it's going to be tough days. It's going to be challenging days. In days of crisis, it seems like we are more apt to see God and to tell people about God. It says, happy is he who keeps the law. Boundaries. Boundaries. We have to live inside the boundaries if we're going to know anything about happiness. And that's what having a vision is. It's like, this is God's word. This is what God said. This is how God says a middle schooler is supposed to act. This is how God says a husband and wife are supposed to relate. Job 5:17 says, happy is the man who God corrects. Psalm 1:1 says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. Psalm 33:2, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. This whole idea of keeping, blessed is he, or happy is he who keeps the law. God put Adam in the Garden of Eden. He said, Adam, keep it. Adam didn't keep it. That's when the problem started. God says, we need to keep this law. We need to preserve this law. And so all the way through Scripture, we see people, those who preserve the law are blessed, happy. Those who have no vision, those who never hear from God, their lives are often very difficult. But I'm encouraged because I see in Scripture there are times when people went to having no vision to having great vision. You remember after the resurrection of Jesus, and he meets these two men on the road to Emmaus, and there are a couple of disciples. We're not exactly sure who they are, but they're walking along there, and they say, "Haven't you heard what's happened?" And Jesus says, "Oh, tell me about it." And then they say, "Well, they crucified our Messiah," and everybody's depressed. And Jesus, the one walking with them, they don't see him. Their eyes are covered. And then at the end of that conversation, suddenly those guys go from having no vision to having vision. And it says, weren't our hearts burning within us? Think about the disciples, the post-resurrection appearances of Jesus when they saw him. Think about Mary at the garden tomb when her eyes didn't see Jesus, and then all of a sudden she saw Jesus. Think about Matthew chapter 4, verse 16. It says, "Those who have walked in darkness have seen a great light." Now, this is my challenge to the church, okay? Let's get a vision. How are we going to get a vision? God's Word. God's Word, listening to God's Word. Last year, we challenged you to read through God's Word, and some of you did that. You read all the way through from Genesis to Revelation, and we're going to do that again. There's an insert in your bulletin to get you started again. But this is what I want to challenge you to do every morning. I want you to get up, and even before you read the Scripture, I want you to get before God, and I want you to get quiet, and I want you to get in His presence and stay there until you know you're in His presence, and ask Him to speak to you. Dads, moms, ask Him to give you a word for your family, because that's what a vision is. It's having sight and then sharing sight. Give me a word for my family, and then just simply share that. Now, you don't need to neglect the Word of God, because He'll speak to you through His Word. But get quiet. Now, why don't people do this? I'll tell you why. A lot of times I haven't done it. A lot of times it has to do with just self-doubt. Lord, I don't believe, God, you're going to speak to me. I'm not that kind of leader. I'm not that person. So we doubt ourselves. We say, well, God's not going to speak to me. Why not? I'll tell you another reason we don't have a vision is because of scruples, or the lack of scruples, the lack of morality in our life. We say, Lord, a lot of times our immoral lives will keep us from hearing God. But a lot of times we say, Lord, you're not going to speak to me. I've done way too much that disqualifies me, God. I'm disqualified. I'm telling you, there were some mighty nasty people in the Bible that God spoke to. Okay? Third thing is this: often we want catch a vision because of the hostility in the tribe. Okay? If you've ever had a high school student, you know what I'm talking about, right? There's hostility sometimes in the tribe. You say, well, I'm a little afraid to cast this vision because I don't know what the result's gonna be, and so you're shy, you hold back because you're a fear of hostility. Let me tell you the number one reason people don't cast a vision, because they don't have a vision. They've never listened to God. And today I want to challenge you to listen to Him, to pay attention to Him, to get quiet before Him. You know, I tell you this, one of my biggest problems is I do a lot of stuff God never asked me to do. I waste a lot of time doing things that I've dreamed up. That's not having vision. That's just being busy. And we need to stop being so busy and just start listening to God, because it'll simplify our lives. It'll make things go so much better. Catch a vision. Won't you bow with me? God, we just thank you for your word. I pray that you'd help us, Lord, to be people of vision, Lord. Often, Lord, we just do whatever the next thing is, and sometimes that's just how we go, Lord. We just do whatever we feel like doing, or we ever do what we feel like is the next thing. And Lord, there are times in our lives that's how we have to operate. But I do pray that we, as a people congregated in a unit here at the church, would begin to listen to you. We'd eliminate those things that you've not asked us to do. And God, we'd get lasered in on what really needs to happen. God, that as we celebrate this new year, God, and it's the only time we'll ever have a year of 2020. And I pray that our vision and our what we see, God, would be clear. I pray, Lord, that we would be intentional about what we do. And I pray that there's anyone here today who's never received Christ as their Savior, they would come and have their eyes open. Lord, there's no one blind like a person who's lost. And so I pray that if there's anyone here who's never received Christ, they would know that He came. And as we heard so beautifully put this morning, Jesus Christ came to this earth as a little infant boy and an infant baby, and He lived this perfect life, and He never hurt anyone. He never did anything to harm a person or to God to cause pain or hurt. And God, in fact, He did the opposite. He healed people, and He loved people, and He forgave people. God, there were times when He challenged the religious people, but even then He did it in the right way. And God, we know that the religious leaders took that very perfect Son of God and they put Him on a cross and crucified Him there. And even though He was sinless, Lord. But then we read and we understand that at some point He became sin for us. And God, You laid all of our sin on Him. And He gave His precious life so that we could know You personally. And the Bible tells us that today, if we believe that that wasn't the end of the story, that 3 days later, after He had been buried, He rose from the dead, that we believe in the resurrection and we profess Him as Lord, that we can know You. God, we can have eternal life, that we can be saved. And so I pray if there's anyone here this morning who's not been saved, who wants Christ in their heart, that they would come forward and receive Christ. I pray for moms and dads and grandparents, Lord, that we would see the importance of having a vision. God, I'm afraid that so many people are uncovered. Husbands and wives need to be covering their husbands, and husbands need to be covering their wives, and parents need to be covering their children. And yet, God, we send them out in the world, and oftentimes they're exposed, and God, they're uncovered. God, You tell us in Your Word that when we don't have vision, people just do whatever they want to do. And that's never healthy. It's never good for the church. It's never good for the family. So God, help us to be people who have a vision and cast a vision. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.